I'm going to escape it next time we watch this thing. I'm learning. I'm learning how to avoid that fish. I want to give you just a quick overview of where we've been over the last couple of weeks in case you haven't been able to be with us in our series of Jonah. In Jonah chapter 1 and verse 1, it says this, that the word of the Lord came to Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah and it was telling him to do something. It told him to go to Nineveh. And Jonah, like us, we decide, you know, sometimes I don't want to do what the Lord says. I don't care what the word of the Lord says. I don't want to do it. And we go in the opposite direction. And that's what Jonah did. Jonah, instead of going and doing what the Lord told him to do, he went down. It said he went down to Gaza. And there he got on his ship. And that's what happens to our lives when we don't do what the word of the Lord says. We go down. And he got on his ship and he headed in the opposite direction, heading for Tarsus. And the Bible says that the Lord sent a great wind. And then that wind was for a period of time and it turned into a violent storm, which is exactly what happens in your life and my life when we disobey the Lord, when we run from the Lord, things turn bad. And that's exactly what happened to Jonah. And then what it says is that the guys in the boat with Jonah got fed up with him because of all the stuff they were having to go through. And so they threw him out of the boat. And that's what happens to us sometimes. You know, people that are in our lives, they get tired of all the junk and stuff we put them through, and so they throw us out. And that's what happened with Jonah. And so the last verse of chapter 1 says this, in Jonah chapter 1, verse 17, it says, but the Lord provided, what did he do? He provided a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and 3 nights. He was in that circumstance in the next 3 days and the 3 nights. Chapter 2 tells us what happened in that time and during that time and in that situation. And during that time, God got Jonah's attention. Jonah said, I'll do what you told me to do. And he prayed. And that's what we saw last time. Well, this in the chapter ends saying this, in Jonah chapter 2, verse 10, it says, and the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah unto dry land. How many knows that the Lord can command your circumstance and your situation and your belly of hell? Sometimes, you know, the Lord can make it so that you make the situation sick and the situation doesn't make you sick and it vomits you out. And so that's how we ended last week. And this week we're going to be talking about Jonah will obey in chapter 3. That's our title. That's what we're going to be talking about. See, Jonah come to a place through the circumstances of life where he said, I'm going to obey the Lord. It's going to be better to obey than to run from the Lord. And let me tell you this right off the top. When the Lord gets ready for you to obey, you will. You will obey. I promise you. When he's ready, you will. All right, let's read Jonah chapter 3, verse 1. It says this, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Now leave that up there, and I want you to interact with me and work with me just a second. Like we've done in every chapter, we take Jonah's name and we put our name there. So the word of the Lord came to Delbert. So I want you to put your name there, and the word of the Lord came to you. And now I want us all to say that together, except what I want us to do is say, the word of the Lord came to me a second time. Would you say that with me? The word of the Lord came to me a second time. One more time. The word of the Lord came to me a second time. Very good, very good. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah did what? Obeyed. It wasn't his intention. He didn't want to obey, but Jonah come to a place where, hey, I think I'm going to just go ahead and obey. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very important city. A visit required 3 days. I want to talk about a word here in the Hebrew, and it's the word that's translated second. And if you have your notes, then second time would have been your first fill-in if you're taking notes with me. And if you're taking notes now, it's this Hebrew word, and it's sheni, and that's how it's said. It's spelled S-H-E-N-I-Y, but it's pronounced sheni. And the word means, and it's translated, and what it means is double. It means second. It means again. Well, what I want us to see is that we have a God who is a God of sheni. He's a God of a second, or a double, or again. He's a God of a second chance. Jonah didn't deserve a second chance, but God gave him a second chance. We're going to talk about that some. I was thinking about it, and you know, and all the guys in the scriptures of the Bible, they had a sheni. I was thinking about Abram. Abram, it says that the word of the Lord, the Lord has told Abram to get out of his country and out of his, away from his kindred and go into a land, and he didn't do it. But God gave him a sheni. He came again a second time, and Abraham left, and he was blessed with Isaac, and his life got better because he obeyed the word of the Lord. I was thinking about others, like the children of the of Israel in the wilderness. They had sheni after sheni after sheni in the wilderness in their wandering time, and until the Lord finally got their attention, you see. And King David, how many shenis do you think he had? Maybe 100? You know, just every God kept coming to David. In the New Testament, it's every place you look, but in the New Testament, I was thinking about Peter. You know, Peter even used profanity and used it to deny the Lord 3 times. But what did the Lord do? He gave him a sheni, right? He came back again. Thinking about my life, I was a kid, 8, 10 years old, and friends would take me to church on Sunday. And I remember the Lord dealing with my heart just as a young child. He came to me, but I did what Jonah did. I ran from the Lord. I didn't want any part of that at that time, and I ran from the Lord. And then I was about 16 or 17 years old, and I had a sheni. He came to me again, and he dealt with my heart, and I served him for a little while, but I, like Jonah, I ran from the Lord. I didn't want to do what the Lord's Word said to do, so I ran from the Lord. But he gave me a sheni again. Early in my 20s, I remember being dealt with by the Lord and going searching for the Lord, but again, I ran from the Lord. I didn't want to do what the Word of the Lord said. And then when I was 28 years old, he came to me in a sheni again. And this time he had my attention. And this time I began to serve him and have served him since. But even since that time, even here ministering and pastoring this church for the 20-something years now that I've been doing this, I just think of all the shenies that the Lord's dealt with me and given to me and used to come to me again and again and over and over and over. Some of you are going to experience a sheni today. You've come here and the word of the Lord's going to come to you and he's going to draw on your heart. And it's time for you to get serious with God. It's probably not the first time he's dealt with you. He's coming to you again in a sheni, and he wants you to come into the kingdom of God. Others of you, maybe you've backslid somewhere along the way, and you got away from God, and God's coming to you in a sheni, or he has come to you in a sheni again. And he's given you another chance, another opportunity. Again, he's come to you, and he's drawing you again and again and again, you see, and you've come to a place of sheni. He's a God of sheni. He's a God of second chance. And while I'm on this particular point, never give up on people. You know, God never gives up on people. We give up on people sometimes. We're dealing with somebody and they don't seem to be responding to God, or they're not responding to our phone calls or our invitations to church or our witnessing to them. Well, don't give up on them. Just hang out and wait, because God's going to give them a shame. God's going to come again to them, and he's going to come again and again and again to them. God never gives up. Don't give up on that spouse. Maybe you're here and your spouse isn't serving the Lord. Don't give up. God's going to give them a shame. How about that kid, that child of yours, that girl, that boy or whatever, and they're in rebellion or in all sorts of trouble? Don't give up. Don't give up. God's going to come again to them. Come on, somebody, help me. Help me. Is that right? He's going to come again. I don't care what they're doing. I don't care where they're at. I don't care what kind of situation. God's going to give them a shame. He's going to create these circumstances like he did with Jonah, and they're going to hear God. They're going to come around. Never give up. Never give up. Never give up on that loved one. Never give up. We have a nephew. we've seen him in the belly of hell so many times, and God just keeps giving him a shame. He just keeps dealing with this kid, and we just know every time we see him getting a little closer and a little closer to God. Never give up on people. God's going to come again. You know, and we sort of think of this shaney thing as God's loving kindness and mercy. And it is. It really is. But it's more than that. You just think you're hard-headed. You think your spouse is hard-headed, or that person that you're praying for is hard-headed. But you've not seen hard-headed until you watch God work. Now, you're talking about the most hard-headed being. It's God. He'll never stop. He's coming to you again. He's not going to stop. And you think you're running from him, Jonah? You think you're going to get away from him? He's not going to stop. He's going to come to you again and again and again. God is hard-headed. When he makes his mind up, you're going to obey. You're going to pray.
You're going to do what the Lord wants you to do. When He makes His mind up, He is hard-headed like that. Why is He hard-headed? Why is God that way? Why does He come again and again? Why don't He just leave you alone? Why don't He just, leave me alone, God? Why? Well, it's not just about you. You see, we think He just wants to get me saved. No, that's a part of it. He loves you. Yes, He wants you saved. But what He's really after is Nineveh. Jonah, God got you out of that whale's belly, fish's belly, for Nineveh. You could have died there. But it was Nineveh that needed you, Jonah. There are people that will go to hell, die and go to hell, unless you go to them. And God's going to deal with you a shaney, until you go. So why don't we just go to, right? That'd be a good thing to do. Let's read then verse 2. It says here, go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. What does he say do? Go to. Now, the Hebrew word here is interesting. The word for go, it means urgent. There's a get up and go. Go now. There's an urgency in this word. And I want us to get this. You see, when God comes to you and wants you to pick up the phone and call somebody, that's just not happen chance. There's an urgency. There's something that this person is probably about to face, and they need you. You need to go to. When somebody's on your heart to witness to this person or to do something nice, when God's on your heart to do this, go to. There's an urgency. See, I'll show you in just a little while, but Nineveh's only got 40 days. The person to which God is dealing with you over has only got a short time, and then it's going to get worse. And you need to go to. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 28:19. He says, therefore, go. What did Jesus say? Go. Go to. Go to anybody, anywhere, any place, anyhow you can get there. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Who comes into your mind when you start thinking about who you should go to? Surely there's an image of someone in your... Surely, Jesus, please, tell me that there's surely somebody that comes into your mind when I'm talking about going to and calling somebody and ministering. Surely you're not that callous. Surely you're not that hard. Surely you don't want them to go to hell. Go to Jonah. Go to them. I want to make certain that we connect the dots here. I'll make sure we get this. Every negative experience that Jonah had in this story was because he didn't want to go to Nineveh. Every one of them. Every negative experience that Jonah experienced was because... I mean, how would you connect a great wind, with Jonah's not going to Nineveh? How would you connect a violent storm in Jonah's life with Jonah not going to Nineveh? How would you connect those people dealing with Jonah so harshly, throwing him out of a boat, with Jonah's not going to Nineveh? How would you deal? How would you connect the fish swallowing Jonah with his not going to Nineveh? I mean, it just looks like bad stuff's happening to the guy, right? Well, how do you connect some of the stuff you're going through with your not going to your Nineveh? The storms that you have, the bad experiences, the winds in your life, the harsh treatment that you get from people sometimes, the consuming circumstances that you find yourself in sometimes are simply related because you're not going to your Nineveh. Who is it? Go now. Pick up the phone. Call them. Go to this person. And you'll find that your life's going to kind of straighten out. Go to. In chapter 3, verse 3, it says, Jonah did what? Obey. Might want to fill that one in. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Listen, you will obey. God's going to make it so you will obey. And it's not just about you. There are people that he loves that only you can reach. Who is your Nineveh? You know, people cop out on this going to. They say, well, I don't know what to say. I'm supposed to take them down the Roman road. And I don't know how to do that. And I don't know what they're going to ask me questions. And I don't know what to say to them. And we make it so complicated. Listen, it's so simple. You know, God had told Jonah, he says, tell them what I tell you to say, right? That's what he said. You know how many words he told them to say? Eight words. Eight words. That's pretty simple. Let me show you. It's in verse 4. On the first day Jonah started, let me just leave it up there. Let me pause. Jonah did what? He started. He picked up the telephone. He started. He sent that email. He started. He invited them to church. He started. He done that good deed. He started. Listen, you're never going to get there unless you start. You're never going to touch a life until you start. You got to start. And on the first day, Jonah started into the city. He proclaimed, here's his eight words, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Eight words. Eight words. Less than that in the actual Hebrew. Less than that. But eight words. How complicated is that? See, it's a simple message. Just tell them what I tell you to say. He didn't give them a Roman road. He didn't make it. He didn't answer questions for them. He didn't tell them how God was going to do it. Or he just said, here's the deal. Now, this is probably not going to be your message. But it was the message that Jonah was told to give. And what God will do for you is the same thing he did for Jonah. Is he'll give you a very simple message to tell whomever that he's told you to go to. Jonah's message was short. It was direct. It was offensive. And it was confrontational. Right? Don't you think it was? It wasn't the Roman road. It was short. It was direct. It was offensive. And it was confrontational. He didn't do a typical preacher sermon. You know, he didn't give them a joke, 3 points, and a poem. That's not what he did. He didn't soften it. Say, well, let me make this palatable so you can get it. He didn't sugarcoat it. He said, here's the deal. It's going to happen to you in 40 days. Now, I've learned something doing this as long as I have. I've sugarcoated, I've softened, I've given 3 points in a poem. I've told jokes. I tried to. It's been interesting, you know. And what I have learned in doing all of these different styles is that you really don't want it softened, and you really don't want it sugarcoated, and you want it straight. Now you want it to come direct. You want it short. You don't like to sit here and have to watch your watch and wonder when is this guy going to quit. Let me just ask you some questions. How many of you would rather me be just direct and to the point rather than beating around the bush and you walking out of here and saying, now, what was he trying to say? How many of you would rather me be direct? Right? Okay, good. How many of you would rather me be short in length and time than long preaching where you're wondering, when is he going to stop? You know, is my watch broken? What's going on here? How many of you would rather me be short and get to it? Right? Right. How about this one? How many of you would rather me be offensive and confrontational than never address any real issues in your life? How many of you... Now, listen, I know I make you mad sometimes. I know you criticize me. I know you talk about me. I know that, you see. And I know that. And that's what comes when you do the thing that God told you to say. That's how it really works. You get mad at me because I've touched something. You say we're salt and light, Jesus says. And when you put salt on a wound, what does it do? It burns. It's offensive. But it heals. See? And so when I do touch you and I make you mad and I hear you talking about me and I hear you hallelujah! I got it. Because I know I've gotten there. You see, I understand how that's what Jesus did. Am I right? Is that kind of what Jesus, a little confrontational? Yeah. And so I've learned over the years that this is what you want. Now, I'm making a point in all of this. Now, if you like it, don't you think your Nineveh is going to like it as well? They don't want a Roman road. They don't want to know about the rapture. And they want to know, how I can make it today? How can I get out of this belly of hell today? Be confrontational. Be blunt. Let them know what they want to know. And you're going to have results. That's what Jonah had. Verse 4 says, let's read it again. On the first day Jonah started into the city, he proclaimed 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. Notice there that, you know, I'm trying to make a point here. It's not Nineveh's going to be destroyed or die. It's overturned. I want to show you the Hebrew word here. The Hebrew word is hapak. And what it means is to turn about or over. By implication, it means to change. Hapak. It means one way or another, you will change. You can turn about or you can be turned over. But the point is, you've got 40 days to make your mind up. It's going to happen. We don't get this. And I don't want you to miss this point. This is maybe one of the major points that I can really help you with. See, time is ticking for Nineveh. But time is ticking for you. Hapak. Turn about or be turned over. But one way or the other, you're going to change. You will obey, Jonah. This is what the Lord is saying to us. How many more days do you have? We all have a clock that's ticking in God's processing of us. We see God as a merciful and a long-suffering God, and He really, really is. But we don't quite understand how He does it. He deals with us in increments in time. Let me explain this to you. With Jonah. Jonah went, he was running from the Lord, not disobeying the Lord, and so he got into the boat, and there was a wind that came first, and the wind blew for a time. And Jonah didn't hapak. Well, he hapak, but he just didn't change and made it do the right thing. All right, so the wind turned into a violent storm. Right? And no good hapak yet. So the violent storm lasted for a while. All right, then, now these guys are dealing with Jonah. Jonah, why is this going on? Another hapak. Another period of time, and Jonah still doesn't make the right move. And so it keeps getting worse. He keeps getting turned over. Turned over to the next element. Turned over to the next segment of time. Rather than changing and going back where it's good, he keeps going to where it's bad. Until he finally ends up in the belly of hell. Into the belly of the fish. See, this is what happens to us. When the Lord comes to us with a shaming, and we don't hapak, then we start going in the bad direction. And it's going to get worse. And you have a clock that's ticking. Tick, 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 tick. And if you don't hapak and change and turn around, you will change and be turned over to the next time. God is dealing with us. And He wants us to understand how this works. And He wants you to understand. It doesn't have to get worse. Just a puck. Change your ways. It's called repentance. If you'll turn and come back. Now, I'm not sugarcoating here, and I'm really wanting to be straight with this, because I really, really do want you to get it. But some of you are on like day 39. None of it had 40 days. Some of you are on like day 39. Tomorrow is going to be bad. Tomorrow, you're going to have to file bankruptcy. You won't hapak. You won't fix it. Tomorrow, if you don't fix this addiction, tomorrow, you're going to have to go be committed and get treated. Tomorrow, if you don't control that anger, hapak. change, turn around, or be turned over. A pock, tick, tick. What day are you on? See, the problem is we don't know. We all think we're at day one, when actually we're close to like 39. We're hoping we're way at the end, at the beginning of the time. We don't know. But I do know that it's ticking. And it ticks on every one of us. And we can turn around and change or be turned over to the next situation. Let me read to you verses 5 through 9. The Ninevites did what? Believed God. Believed God. Leave that up there. Listen, I'm hoping you're not sitting there analyzing what I'm saying or wondering if I'm telling you the truth or what's this preacher talking about. I'm hoping you're not doing that. I'm hoping you're not even hearing me. I'm hoping you're believing God. They didn't believe Jonah. Who'd they believe? Believe God. Is this the Bible? Is this the word of the Lord that's coming to you? The Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. I'll talk about that. When the news reached the king, I'm going to talk about that. The king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. Then he issued a proclamation in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let any man or beast, herd or flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink. But let every man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Let, now watch this, everyone do what? Call urgently on God. Would you say that back to me? Call urgently on God. The clock's ticking. 40 days. They've gotten down to 40 days. We need to learn how to call urgently on God. Call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. He believes God. Now, let's put this into relevance for today. Let me know who Howard Stern is. This would be like Howard Stern coming to Christ, believing God, and all of a sudden his satellite radio station now has a message of Jesus Christ and moral purity. That's what would happen. Tom Cruise, he's left Scientology. He's now a Christ follower. And now he's trying to bring people into being Christ followers. It's all of Hollywood. Believing God and calling upon God urgently. It's the wickedest, most violent, evil person you know coming to God. The devil, that's never going to happen. You know why? Because we won't go to people and tell them what God tells us to tell them. When Jonah went, didn't sugarcoat it, didn't make it soft, he went and he told him what he was supposed to tell him, what God told him to tell him. He got results. One reason we don't get results is because we don't tell them what God wants to do. We want to take them down a Roman road. We want to answer their eschatology questions. And who was Jesus' sisters? And who did Cain marry? Who cares? Do you love your wife? Who cares? What about your addiction? You got 40 days. And if you don't do something, it's going to be bad. And we bring that message, you're going to get results. You're going to make people mad. They're going to talk about you. They're going to criticize you. But you're going to change their lives. A pock. Sackcloth. It was a garment. It was a nasty garment. It was made of hair. Goat's hair or camel's hair. John the Baptist wore it. This. And you can imagine how comfortable it would be, right? Ooh. Hair. Scratchy, itchy. Hair. It was very uncomfortable, and that's the point. The point is this, is that it's better to be uncomfortable and change than to experience the wrath of God. It's not comfortable, folks, to hapok and change.
It's not comfortable to fix your finances. It's not comfortable to overcome an addiction. It's not comfortable to control anger. It's not comfortable to do these things. But if you don't, tick, 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 a punk. Tuesday, it talks about the king here. Tuesday, we vote. Big day. I was thinking about it, you know. See, the existence of Nineveh depended upon this king believing God and being able to urgently call upon God. People, we need a president who believes God and a president who knows how to urgently call on God. This is not a political advertisement. But for your sake, for your children's sake, for your grandchildren's sake, for generations in your lineage, you need a president who believes God. So think about that and do something Tuesday. Do something. Don't just let it go by. Oh, it doesn't. They'll take care of it. No, no, no. You do it. You do what you're supposed to do. Also, you know what? You need a pastor who believes God and who can urgently call on God. You know, every one of you are going to need a pastor or leaders in a church that at one point in your life, you're going to need somebody to pray for you. You're going to need somebody to call urgently on God for you. Never sit under a ministry that can't do that. And I was thinking about LifeGate and this tick, tick, tick thing. Where are we? Where is LifeGate in this thing? How am I doing as a leader here? How is the leadership doing? Do we keep you in sackcloth? Do we keep you in a place where you're not wearing it in the natural, but in your heart? Jesus talked about a repentive heart. Do we keep you changing? Do we keep you changing for the good? How do we do here, you know? And I think about the people that attend here. See, some of you just come to church. And you just go about your life and nothing ever changes. And you wonder why stuff happens in your life. Why does it keep getting worse? Well, you never change. You go through a pop, but you never change for good. You always just change. You get turned over to the next level and the next level. And you just go about life. A pop. Change for good. Or change and get turned over. And then I look at others, and this is the most part that I see. I look at your lives, and for the most part, man, I see you guys searching for God, reaching up for God. I see you really trying to change. I'm going to try to get some folks to do some videos this year that I know who've watched their lives, and I've watched them change and go good. And that's mostly what I see. And for you, for those of you who just go to church and just go through the motions, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry for you. I'll be here for you, and the leadership will be here for you. But please understand, this is why it's happening. You're not changing. It's supposed to happen. Oh, that's kind of blunt. That's kind of confrontational. That's not softened too much, is it? I sugarcoated that one, didn't I? If this is how God says it's going to happen, Nineveh, if you don't apoc, it's going to be bad. It's supposed to be this way. This is how it works. And you look at lives too. See, all I have to do. See, what Jesus said is either true or it's just a big joke. We're just playing, messing around here, or either it's true. And how I know it's true is because I watch people's lives. I watch my life. I watch your life. I watch people's lives. And I see people that apply these principles. I watch their lives go up. Change for good. Turn up. And then I watch others that don't just go through the motions. I watch them hapok and turn down. And you do too. It's true. You know it's true.
Jonah chapter 3 verse 10. Last verse says this. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, He had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction He had threatened.
honestly believe that in my life there's been two major things that's kept me from having a destroyed life. A life that didn't matter. A wasted life. One was marrying my wife. And she's a taskmaster on this old boy. She makes me do right. And that's good. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, yeah. She does. And the other one, of course, is coming to Jesus. And allowing Him to deal with me. And learning how to hapak. And when He deals with me, you know, get my shaming. When He comes to me again, I've learned to respond to it. And my point is this, is that God deals with us this way. He dealt with Jonah this way. He deals with you this way. He's going to deal with your children this way. He's going to deal with every person this way. This is how God deals with us. And I put them in that order because that's how it happened in my life. See, I believe that it's because of that I avoided the destruction that I could have had. And until you do it, you're just going to keep going to worse, to worse, to worse. Do you realize, Jonah, that most of the bad things that you experience in life is because you did not obey the word of the Lord that came to you? Have you realized that yet, Jonah? If you would just obey, then none of this would have happened. Jonah, do you realize that the primary reason that God delivered you from the belly of hell, from the belly of that fish, was for Nineveh? Will we ever get that? Will that ever get in our heads? God loves us, but He loves Nineveh. Will we ever get that? We go through so much stuff because we just refuse to go to and minister to people. Do you realize, folk, that God comes to you in a shaming again and again? He's hard-headed. He's not going to quit. I know you wished He would. I know you wished He'd leave you alone. But He's not going to. And the quicker you go ahead and hapak and change, do you realize that it's not going to get better until you change? It's going to happen. You got a clock that's ticking. Tick, tick, tick. Where are you? How much longer before it gets worse? Or will you change and make it better? See, God's dealing with us. He wants us to understand these things. Go to your people. Go to your Nineveh with a simple, direct, confrontational word, and you're going to get results. But there's a Nineveh for you to go to, Jonah. There's a Nineveh for each of us to go to. And Nineveh believed God. Do you? Are you analyzing what I'm telling you? Analyze all you want. But you know I'm telling you the truth. Will you believe God? All I want to say is this. I just want you to know, Jonah, one day you will obey. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We love your word. We love it. You're kind of blunt. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for teaching us your ways so that we can have a great life. I ask you, Lord, now to touch every heart here. Heads bowed and eyes closed, you know. Delvin, wow. I really do realize that there's shamies in my life. And that a lot of the things that I've gone through is because I didn't obey the word of the Lord. And the Lord has given me a second chance. And I really want to take opportunity of it. And hapak, I want to change. I want to go up in life. And I really want to apply the principles. And I really want to go to my Nineveh. I really want to go this week and touch some lives and minister to some people. If that's you, would you just raise your hand and say, yes, let's get together on this thing. Let's pray. Let's minister. Would you raise your hand? Would you raise it up real high? Let me see your hands. I see your hands. Father, I pray for these people. Lord, I just ask you, Lord, that you will minister to all of us. That you'll cause us, Lord, to come to a place where we can reach the people that you called us to reach. And we can be a blessing to them. Help us, Lord. Remind us of it. Shake us. Get us going. We want to bless life. Father, now I pray for others. Head still, bowed, eyes closed. Maybe you've gotten away from the Lord, or maybe you've never received Him as your Lord and Savior. And you're experiencing shame right now. He's coming to you, and He's drawing you, and He's asking you and inviting you to change your life.
to come into the kingdom of God. Allow him to be your Lord and your Savior and to lead you and guide you. You see, it's never going to get better until you do this. He came to give us abundant life. You'll never have an abundant life without him. He died. He shed his blood so that this would be made available for you. So if that's you, would you raise your hand right where you're sitting and let me pray for you right where you are. And I'll lead you in a prayer and you'll receive the Lord and you can get going and doing what God's called you to do. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Let me pray for you right where you're sitting. See your hand. Any others? Any others? Shame. Don't miss your shame. Don't miss your second chance. Father, I do. I pray for her now. I ask you to bless her, Lord God. Continue to draw her, use her, touch her. Lord, I just know that there's people that she can touch. I just ask you to touch her. Would everybody in here pray this prayer with me? Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Become my Savior. Allow me to serve you. Change my life for good. And I ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you give the Lord a shout and a hand clap? Amen. Rejoice. Let's stand together.